Well, thanks for coming, because my grandkids would take it out of me anyway, and if you weren't here and I was talking to myself, they'd have a good laugh, wouldn't they? So thanks for coming. Why have you come? I wonder why you've come. So many reasons. In fact, there's a couple here this morning that have taken me by surprise, and I never thought of the reason that they might come. Maybe you've come because you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you'd like to find a bit more about him. But first of all, next one, please feel welcome. That's the most important thing. Come in, feel welcome. It might be strange. Give yourself a few moments to just stop and think. Do you feel warm? Do you feel welcomed? Maybe this idea of what Jesus is like, who he is. Just listen to how people have spoken so far. I hope how people have greeted you. There's something special about knowing Jesus and coming to his house is just so wonderful. Maybe you've come looking for peace of mind. There's a lot of people around today who are looking for peace of mind. A sense of, why am I in this mess? Why has this difficulty come to me? Where am I going to go? How's the finance going to stretch? What about my health? Maybe you feel worthless. There's a beautiful verse in the next slide, the first one in the sort of oval shape. Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out. I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. What a promise. What a claim. You know, Jesus died for our wrongdoings, all of us. God calls it sin, but he offers us a new start, forgiveness, a clean sheet, a new beginning. Respond to the instructions in that first oval sentence there. Better than any stain remover. I've tried a few of you. Yeah? He is better than any stain remover. Well, Jesus certainly can say, come. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. Whoever will come to me, he'll never turn you away. You know, you go to so many places, don't you? Your children are too short for that ride. They're too tall for that one. You're too old to go there. You're too young to go wherever. But there's nothing. Whoever you are, we're welcome. And he will never, ever, ever turn you away. Darkest night, brightest morning, he is there. No age limit. Let the children come to me. That was quite a thing in the time in which Jesus lived. Children were left to die in the garden. Jesus said, bring the children to me. Maybe you've come to prove that this is all a fairy tale. John Price and Judy, when they're here, Judy wrote this. Is it just another tale? Another babe born in Bethlehem? Another tale? Is it just another thief on the cross? Another thief? But his name shall be called, wonderful, Counselor. That's not a thief. Mighty God. Oh no, it's not a fairy tale. This morning, be assured, Jesus is alive, and he longs to give you life, abundant and eternal life. Longs to speak peace, rest and direction into whatever situation you're in. Well, maybe some of us are here because with David we can say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord together. And it's good because the whole group here, you vary so much, but we have one person in common, our Lord and Saviour. So we've all come. But you know, for those of who come because we want to be here, let me unsettle you, because start going. Right? Start you going. Look at the next slide. Research shows that only 6% of the population of the UK are practicing Christians. Gloom. But 46% in that survey indicated they have an interest in Christianity. an opportunity or a depressing thought. So for those who believe Jesus is the Son of God, he says, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for these people. Are you ready? There's 46%. Come on, wake up. 46% out there signify they have an interest to find out more. A bit harder these days, we have to admit. Slide 5. In the 30s, there were queues outside the town halls waiting to get in to worship God. Can you believe that? Queuing, quarter of a mile. May I say, a lot of those people were desperate. They were desperate. And I've heard a lot of preachers say, oh, people only come to church when they're desperate. Bring them in. That's when God can speak to people. When they're self-sufficient with the finances, with the family, with the happiness, with going here, they're going everywhere. They don't think about God or want to talk about those sort of things. Even in the 70s and the 80s and the possibly beginning of the 90s, some of our AOG churches, you had to go early to get into a convention. But things have changed. And you know, sometimes I can sit and I can ponder, how do we reach these people, Lord? Just how? And then I probably go a bit over the top. And the next slide, you know, I'd like to have an aeroplane flying over. Jesus saves, get out of your beds, get out of your houses, get here. And I think, oh, grow up, stop being so OTT. You know, you just have to come back to the Bible and see what happened. You know, Jesus is the guide. Let's just have a look at Jesus' life for a moment. When he was 12, he indicated he knew his mission. This is slide 7. There he was in the temple, talking to all the teachers that knew everything, but he knew more. Talking to all the teachers who knew how to live, but he knew how to live abundantly. He was only 12, but he knew. He knew God's mission. And his parents said, why? No, Jesus said, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I had to be dealing with things of my father. But they didn't understand. And all the time, Jesus was growing in wisdom, in stature, in favour with God and man. Imagine the scenario. This comes from a plane that Jeff and I went to see years ago. Just listen to these words. This is Joseph speaking. Tom Conti, if you like. He started helping in the workshop, and there was a lot to learn. How to learn how to side an edge using a plane. How to keep your tool sharp and in good condition. How to drive nails into wood without splintering. How to polish and how to varnish. And then he said, I have to leave. I said, leave? What do you mean leave? This is your house. He said, I had to start work. I have to. Work? What work? You already work with me in the shop and you're good at it. Very good. In fact, everybody says you're good at it. You're a wonder with wood. He said, there was other work. He talked about travelling. He talked about studying. He talked about lost sheep. I said, you want to spend days sitting on a hillside after a bunch of sheep and you've got a trade? I didn't want him to go. I put my foot down. I refused to let him go. Then his mother had a word. He has to go. Why? To do his work. What work? You know what work. Oh, yes, I know. Tell me, the boy. Does he look invincible to you? Because he'll need to be for the kind of work you're talking about, not the kind of work where you come home and you have supper and the kids play with you. Of course, the wife had gone by now. He set off down the road. I watched him go. Took nothing with him. No extra clothes. Not even a blanket. You know, when Jesus set out, he knew his mission. At the right time, he came to earth. At the right time, he set out on his mission. The desperate folk were given a purpose. The greedy became generous. The insignificant gained confidence. Sick were healed. Jesus brought that hope. What a saviour we have. Let's fast forward to Luke chapter 9 and 10. Things moved at a pace in chapter 9. If you fancy doing a degree in theology, read chapter 9. This is slide 9. All that in chapter 9, all of those things, right, all of those things happened so, so quickly. Now go to chapter 10. He'd sent out 12 apostles. We come to chapter 10. And he sends out 72 ordinary followers of Jesus. Now in England, we don't do much about this. But on slide 10, this is just one icon that the East European Orthodox Church, Eastern Orthodox Church use a lot. They remind themselves that 70 were sent out. Right? They're sent out in couples. Where did he send them? Slide 11. Oh, I love this. He sent them to where he was going to go. Hear that again? Jesus sent the couples to places he was going to go. And you know, if you go where Jesus sends, Jesus is going to be there when you get there. He's going to be there with the person next door to you if God sent you to speak to them. He's going to be there. He's promised. Okay. The geography is so important where you go. Don't be a square peg in a round hole. You've got to pray about where you're going. The geography is important. Don't be vague. Once I was teaching geography, just a bit, and we did counties, Staffordshire, Worcestershire, Leicestershire, and this little fella put his hand up and he said, Pushchir. That really happened. Yeah? Don't be vague in what you hear and where God wants you to go. Maybe he'll send you to reach one person. He might send you to reach 10. It might evolve for hundreds. The essence is that you go and he'll be there. Let's have a look at chapter 10 a little bit more carefully. Verse 2a, the last bit, slide 12. You know, the harvest is plentiful. There's more people out there that need Jesus than you can imagine. You can't argue it. You can't sit here thinking there's nowhere to go. There is. You go to the supermarket. You've got a neighbour. You've got a family friend who doesn't know Jesus. You can go. Next slide. The workers are few. There really is more work than available workers. Because most of us sit down and think, okay, they can do it. In the natural, there's a shortage of nurses and teachers and doctors and trainers. But in God's work, there's a shortage of people who are willing to share their testimony. Next one, 14. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Prayer matters. Ask God for guidance. Where? When? You know why, but how? What to say? In Darlaston? Warsaw? Wherever you live, there's a place for you. And pray for the people that you know are already working there. You can see there. The poor is quite pleased to say, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So people that are in places you can't go, like we have a friend who used to work in Afghanistan. I had a cousin who worked in South Africa. I couldn't go there, but I could pray for them. Pray for the people that have gone already to places you can't. But that doesn't negate you going where you can. 3A. Just go. Right? Just go. Not just clergy. Not just trained people. All of us. Just do it. For those of you who've done MIT training or been to Bible college, would you have liked this? This happened in 1942. This lady, she was in the Assemblies of God Bible College in Hampstead, London. Principal was then Howard Carter. And he said to her, take your bike and go to Bilston. Right? Imagine that. Take your bike and go to Bilston. And this was in an email she sent to me about 9 years ago. In March 1942, I took my case and bike, left nothing at Bible school, and left for Bilston for 21 days. God began to move and found the doors open to speak in other churches. I prayed for the sick. Healing took place. On free days, I found the doors open to speak in other churches too. Pastor Turley, who was then at Bilston and was poorly, that's why she was sent, recovered and invited me to help in the Wednesbury church. I got a children's work going, and on Wednesdays, a ladies' meeting. I was young and on fire for God, and I worked with children and young people. That was in 21 days. Yeah, that lady's still alive. She's 107, lives in Canada, and preached when she was 100. She knew the essence of getting up and going. So why are you not getting up and going? Oh dear, don't like the next one much. Slide 16. We led like lambs. We go out like lambs amongst wolves. Can I get one thing straight? Christians in Britain, we are not persecuted. We might be laughed at sometimes, but a lot of the time we're greeted with open arms. A lot of people are desperate and they love it if you say, do you want me to pray for you? I know there's restrictions and you've got to be politically correct, but people need to hear about Jesus. Look at North Korea. We can't go there, but we can pray. Those details at the bottom, those statistics are pretty shocking, aren't they? It's not an easy task, sharing the gospel in some places. And, you know, to be fair, if you're of a timid disposition, maybe speaking about Jesus you find hard. But you can do it through actions when your neighbour's poorly. You could just check she was all right. Eventually she might realise it's a love that outstretches natural love. Right, slide 17. Don't greet anybody on the road. Oh, hang on, that sounds a bit grumpy, doesn't it? But really, it's a case of don't let anyone persuade you otherwise, all right? Don't be distracted by friendly advice or discouraged by problems. You know, the Apollo mission had to do course corrections every 10 minutes because things were knocking it off course. And be careful that people don't destroy your initial vision. Where are you going? Make sure you do. When Jeff and I went down to Wombourne, one of the local ministers said, well, you're welcome to join us again when it fails. Yeah? That's encouraging, isn't it? Okay? God has a plan for you. God has a plan. Don't be put off by anybody. Up here or down there, whoever they are, get it straight with God. Get it straight. Slide 18. Peace to the house. Be a peacemaker. Speak Jesus. On the mountains, in the streets, speak Jesus. You know when those 72 split into 35 couples, hang on, get your maths right, it's 17 to 35 couples, in some scriptures it's 32 into 36 couples, wherever they went, they were used to Jewish hospitality. And you know, that they shared peace around, they were used to that. We're not quite as good as that. But demonstrate friendliness, integrity, care to other people. Be aware of their religious backgrounds, their cultural backgrounds. Communicate with them. Don't antagonise. Don't antagonise. Next slide. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you. Be grateful for whatever helps you along your route to speak the gospel to them. Remember, hospitality was special to the Jews. It couldn't be a distraction. They'd got to hear the gospel. Stay where God calls you. Stay with the task he's given you. Like Mary Banks last week, when we went to Kinver after Wombourne, having worked for decades with children and young people, Kinver's ministry was amongst old people. Jake and Joe used to say, Mom, those are old people. But you know, old people need the gospel as much as the young people. Where God puts you, use it. Quite a challenge in slide 20. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. I'll read that again. Heal the sick. Pray for them. Pray for them. You don't know if God's going to answer that prayer immediately, dynamically, but pray for them. Pray healing over those people. Know the message. It's not a lifestyle. It's a life-changing message. There's a lot of lifestyle teaching in churches today. A lot of do this and eat that and do that. It's a life-changing message. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Yes? That's the message. But he's alive to give us power and give you a new life. 21. When you're not welcome, slide, verse 10. When you're not welcomed, don't push your luck, all right? Jewish leaders feared the Romans because they had privileges there. It was too special a message for them to cotton onto it. The gospel is not a whim. It's not a fantasy. It's real. It requires that life change. And if they don't want it, you have to carry on praying for them. But don't push it with them. Don't antagonize. Do you know, I love this. Because Nazareth was talked about as a city that rejected Jesus and he couldn't do his work. Listen, he wasn't able to do much of anything, but he laid hands on a few sick people and they were healed. I mean, I'd jump for joy with that. That's not just a little to me. That's magnificent. He couldn't get over their stubbornness, though. God saves individuals even in the midst of the most difficult town, difficult situation. God can speak through the young people in places they shouldn't be. God can speak and turn their lives around and send them back out of the door. God can do it. It was a massive task that those 70 or 72 had. But you know, it was amazing because it says the 72 returned with anger, weariness, with joy. They returned with joy. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Gosh, they were surprised that Jesus' name really did carry authority. Are you? Because I think sometimes we are. Do you know Jesus' name still carries authority? And so to conclude, look at the last slide. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's endeavour to tell the folk we live with, we work with, we study with, socialise with. We've just got to speak the name of Jesus. Romans 10:15, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one to whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Most people who become Christians in the UK credit a friend or family member as the most significant influence in their journey to find faith. Sadly, only half of adult Christians in the UK think it's important. And over 20% of active Christians know nothing about the Great Commission, about going. Students were surveyed. 1,000 students surveyed, 78% said they would come to church if a friend invited them. Stop for a few moments. Imagine if we all did that little bit more. We're going to finish with a song if the band wants to come up. It is an old one. It's 40 odd years old, but the Bible's older than that, and the words are true, and so are the words in this. And I want you to just stop as you sing these words and ask yourself, if that applies to me, just what am I going to do about it? Here I am, wholly available.